Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EspritNet News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is...
Don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Let anybody... Take your man.
I remind you that I've done this before.
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to EspritNet News on Esprit Radio. I just want to welcome you onto the show. This is your first time visiting. This is a week worth of information in just one setting. Now, on this program, life expectancy worldwide increased by 5 years in less than 2 decades, with Africa seeing the biggest improvement. And there's a report that genetically altered foods are safe, but they don't cure hunger. I don't know what that means and don't know why you're eating if that's the case. And we have This Week in Court and much more. I just want to welcome you again on to the show. You know, there's a lot of news. I just cut that part a little short because I wanted to kind of start off the show with saying that today is Alhaj Malik al-Shabazz's birthday. That's right. It is Malcolm X's birthday, May 19th. And I wanted to start off the show by acknowledging that and saying that if you have not seen Spike Lee's joint Malcolm or Malcolm X, or if you haven't seen the, I guess it should be on television, or you don't know a lot of history about it, please go check that out. Spike did a great job, and, you know, hey, you'll do yourself a world of good. But if you don't know that part of history, you probably need to take a look at it. But today is Malcolm X's birthday. I just wanted to make sure I said that, because we don't just do Black History Facts in February. It's not how that works. Now, our first story, climate data released by NASA has confirmed that last month was the hottest April on record. Now, the U.S. Space Agency showed that global temperatures were 1.11 Celsius higher than average. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot when it comes down to it. So just wanted to make sure we did that part of the story. Now, U.S. crude prices hit a seven-month high on Tuesday on expectations of lower U.S. output and U.S. piles were higher, I guess, because of the wildfires and the threatening, I guess, new Canada oil supplies. But some are pairing some of the giants due to the potential for higher Libyan output. So we're having some problems in there someplace because, hey, they expect prices to go up, so people are banking on it. I don't know why this is starting to happen again. And if you remember, this is how we had our global meltdown the last time when oil speculators hit the market, but that's a whole other story. Now, the U.S. has raised its import duties, or its dues, or however you want to call that, on Chinese steelmakers by more than fivefold after accusing them of selling their products below market prices. Now, the taxes of 522% specifically apply to Chinese-made cold rolled flat steel, which is used in car manufacturing, shipping containers, and construction. Now, the U.S. Commerce Department ruling comes amidst this high trade tension between the two sides on several products, including chicken parts. I didn't know that was a big deal. But U.S. and European steel producers claim that China is distorting the global market and undercutting them by dumping its excess supply abroad. So, hey, there's a new tariff in town, and it's going against China. Now, Italy is to double the rate of its child benefit to halt the apocalyptic fall of the birth rate and encourage larger families. Now, the move, which would see child benefit handouts increase, which comes after fewer babies were born in 2015 than in any other year since the modern state of Italy was founded in 1861. That's how low the birth rate is in Italy. And, you know, in the United States, European Americans, males, white males initially, are the highest decline in birth rate. They have a negative birth rate for Europeans. And white males first and white females second. But according to reports, they're saying it's because of suicide rate and drug use and other factors that are considered in there. But there's a negative birth rate as well for Europeans in the United States. Now, Susanna Jones, the last woman born in the 19th century, died. Now, she's the oldest known person in the world. She died in New York at age 116. She was born in Alabama on a farm in July 1899. She lived there three centuries through two world wars and 20 presidencies. Now, an Italian woman, Emma Morano, now takes the title as the oldest person in the world and is thought to be the last living person to have been born in the 1890s. Now, Mrs. Jones, who was African-American, always maintained that lots of sleep and no smoking or drinking were the main reasons that she lived to celebrate 116th birthday last year. And an interview with Time magazine last year, she admitted to eating four strips of bacon with scrambled eggs every day. There you go. Now, a memorial service was held for radio legend Doug Banks on Saturday. And it was at Sparkman Hillcrest Funeral Home and Memorial Park, which was in Dallas, Texas. The additional information that was obtained, you know, you'd have to contact his old station, I guess, if you can get that number. But, you know, the broadcasting icon, he died on Monday, April 11th due to complications from diabetes in Miami. So I just want to say this because I was actually a really big Doug Banks fan. And I remember when Doug Banks came on the radio. And pretty much he was really big in the – he was really kind of big in the northern markets for a while. And, you know, at some point they turned and, you know, we flip-flop between, you know, Tom Joyner and I guess it was – I'm trying to think who else it was. I can't even remember now. You know, Doug Banks, on the other hand, I just wanted to get back to that. I know I kind of went out. I'm having some technical difficulties. But in Doug Banks' case, you know, Doug Banks was one of the first radio shows, and Dee Dee McGuire, when they first came on the air, they played this Prince song back to back, and I'm trying to think, I want to say it must have been Adore. Dee Dee Myers falls on the floor, loves Prince, and he said, it sounds so nice, we're going to play it twice, and I remember they were really big Prince fans, and around the same time, a week later, Prince passes away. So, you know, I know we didn't talk about Doug Banks passing from before, but I wanted to make sure I mention him. And speaking of Prince, you know, he was cremated in a private ceremony on April 24th. And, you know, that was 3 days after he was found unresponsible in his Paisley Park complex. And his sister, Tika Nelson, wrote that it was not a funeral and proposed a plan to have their memorial funeral in tribute for Prince in August. So I will definitely keep on top of this story, but she made sure that she wrote that that wasn't a funeral and that was not his tribute or anything. And by the way, do not tune in to the Billboard tribute with Madonna. You know, we really have to be conscious about this. He was a person of color, and technically you cannot whitewash Prince, of all people. Now, she also wrote, Tika Nelson wrote, that Prince and his music influenced so many people that we feel inspired to celebrate his life and legacy in just the right way. We appreciate the public's patience and have been comforted by your outpouring of love, support, and condolences. We look forward to sharing with the world this celebration of and farewell to our Prince. Now, the death of the songwriter, singer, music producer, and who I would like to say Pharaoh, a god to those who are living and a great amongst the greatest. He drew reactions from the Vatican this week that praised his musical talents. Now, it was an interesting story. Cardinal Gianfrancesco Ravisi, the president of the Pontifical Council of Culture, sent a tweet quoting the artist's song, "Sometimes It Snows in April." It said, sometimes I wish that life never ended. All good things, they say, never last. Now, the Italian edition of the Vatican Daily, the La Observatore Romero, spoke of the artist's death in this article. Now, Prince and his labels is what it was called, and it was a story that really kind of talked about the that Prince had engaged in his long battle with his music label and other digital platforms. But Prince, you know, it was interesting. The Vatican actually acknowledges Prince's death. So, hey, there you have it with the Vatican and Prince. But if you want to check out that, it is the Italian edition of the Vatican Daily. All right. Now, the U.S. Senate passed legislation that would allow victims of September 11th attacks to file lawsuits seeking damages from Saudi Arabia, setting up a potential showdown between the White House, which it also threatened to veto this bill if they passed it. The Saudis, who denied responsibility for the 2001 attacks, strongly objected to the bill and have threatened to sell $750 billion of U.S. securities and other U.S. assets in retaliation if that becomes law. Now, the Justice Against Sponsor of Terrorism Act, or the JASTA, passed the Senate by unanimous voice vote. It will be taken up by the House of Representatives, but there was no vote scheduled. So I just want to get you to understand the ramifications of this action. I don't know what we do as Americans to pass stuff like this. But if we open it up for citizens or for citizens to sue countries for something that we did think a country did, all the citizens of Iraq would sue us. Matter of fact, all the citizens of Guatemala for the Tuskegee experiments that we did. And when we, you know, put poison in the water to test how the effects would affect people downstream in Panama, they would probably sue us individually. And we would also get sued for probably what's going on in Libya, probably some things that are going on in a bunch of other countries. So you can see where this is a really bad path that we're going down. But, hey, we're Americans. We think we have the right to do stuff. So there you have it. But the United States won't cross that line because it opens the United States up for all the stuff that the U.S. have done to other countries. All right. Now, buckling under conservative pressure, the House of Representatives pulled a legislative sleight of hand Tuesday and stripped a provision from the annual defense policy bill that would have required young women to sign up for the military draft. Now, the decision triggered an outcry from Democrats who cast the move as the GOP attempt to avoid a contentious vote on equality for women. But the GOP lawmakers argued much more study is required before reversing the longstanding prohibition on including women in Selective Service. Now, they also questioned whether the Selective Service, which needed $23 million annually to operate, should be abolished altogether with an all-volunteer force. So there we have it. Last week did a story about the reducing of numbers in the Army. Now Congress is playing around with people's money. Well, we're going to see how this is going to play out in the bigger picture. Now, Human Rights Watch recommended sweeping changes to assist U.S. service members and veterans who were wrongfully discharged from the military after being sexually assaulted, now including stopping the practice of questionable mental health discharges for victims and offering them greater legal protections. Now, the New York-based organization found such mental health discharges, including often baseless diagnoses of a personality disorder, causing long-lasting problems for veterans and everything from employment to education, less than honorable discharge called bad paper has been correlated to high suicide rates, homelessness, and arrest. The organization said that in their report. Now, it can affect medical benefits and other perks for veterans. So Human Rights Watch wants them to change how they discharge people, especially when they're sexually assaulted. So, hey, we're just doing the news. Now, a federal court has rejected Mozilla's corporation request to force the U.S. government to disclose a vulnerability related in its Firefox web browser that the company says was exploited by the FBI to investigate users of large pornography websites. But if you have Firefox, you want to be careful of your web browsers, people. Now, a former college football player hit the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletics Association, with six federal class action suits on Tuesday, claiming that it ignored its duty to protect football players from head traumas despite knowing about the dangers for decades. Now, that is also in court. Also, federal courts don't have the authority to decide whether the government has an obligation to evacuate 26 U.S. citizens and permanent residents who say that they were stranded in war-torn Yemen. So I guess someone sued because they're stuck in Yemen, and the federal court said, we can't tell another country what to do. So there you have it. And also, a federal court judge has approved a settlement that requires Illinois prisoners to provide, or their prisons, not the prisoners, Illinois prisons to provide specialized care for approximately 11,000 mentally ill prisoners. So just wanted to make sure you had some court news while we started off the program. Sometimes I don't get around to this week in court, so wanted to make sure you had those up front. All right. Now, Nelson Mandela's arrest in 1962 came as a result of a tip from an agent from the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, or the CIA, according to a new report. Now, Mandela served 27 years in jail for resisting the white majority rule before being released in 1990. He was subsequently elected as South Africa's first black president. Now, the events led up to the arrest, leading up to the arrest of Nelson Mandela, or Matiba, I guess is what his name is, on a dark night near Durban in 1962. They said it's always been murky, but he was actually in, I guess it was, he was in Durban, and CIA, you know, it was at the end of the era of their Cold War politics. Mandela, at the time, was the leader of the African National Congress, their ANC, and was considered a terrorist and a threat to the West. So rumors have circulated for years that the CIA trailed Mandela, but the agency resisted previous attempts to shine a light on the alleged involvement in his arrest. But ex-CIA agent David Rickard's admission will bring renewed pressure to declassify documents from this time. So we're going to see if those documents come out. But a CIA agent have come forward and said, yes, we were the one who tipped off. And he wasn't arrested for... He wasn't arrested for any terrorist activity, mind you. He was arrested because I think he was out on bail or something. So he left the country while he was released. That's what he actually was put to jail for. All right. You listen to EspriNet News on Espri Radio. You can call in and join us at area code 323-693-3038. I want to say hey to everyone that's on the line. If you want to come in, hey, just hit one on your line, and I'll bring you in. If you're in the chat room, hey, you know, I have it open, but it's not open. So technically, I haven't looked over there. Just want to say welcome to the show. If you want to email us, just remember news@soulofsyracuse.com. If you have any questions or comments about the program, you can send them there, and we will check it out. So, hey, we're here 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thursdays live, area code 323-693-3038, if you're calling in just to listen. Now, genetically manipulated food remains generally safe for humans and the environment. It's with a high-powered, and I'm sure pretty wealthy, science advisory board declared in a report on Tuesday. Now, the nation's academics of science, engineering, and medicine concluded that tinkering with the genetics of what we eat doesn't produce Frankenfood monsters, is what some opponents claim, but isn't feeding the world with substantially increased yields as proponents promise. Now, the moral of this story is they don't have enough nutrition for you, and it's not helping you. So technically, the food is not hurting you, but it's not helping you, is the moral of the story. Now, with the line between engineering and natural foods being blurred thanks to newer techniques such as gene editing, the 408-page report says that regulators need to make their safety focus more on the end product of the food that is made rather than the nuts and bolts of how it's made. I don't know what that means and didn't like this report, by the way. But again, the moral of the story, they're saying the food's not bad for you, but it's not healthy for you either. Yeah. You can take that and run with it any way you want to. I'm not going to run between those lines. Now, if you watch Bounce TV like I do, you know, Bounce TV is the fastest growing African-American network on television. They announced the launch of their free mobile app, which will allow access to a wide variety of its popular programming anywhere and anytime. Now, Bounce TV has grown to be available in 93.5 million homes across the United States, and 93% of all African-American television homes, including the top African-American television markets. Now, among the founders of Bounce TV are iconic figures, American figures, as Martin Luther King III and Ambassador, former U.S. Ambassador Andrew Young. So if you haven't seen Bounce TV, hey, they're coming along, but they're a free television service over regular airwaves. So if you don't get it on your cable stations, you could probably get it locally. Just go out and look for it. It's Bounce TV. Now, BET Networks announced that it had acquired assets from Soul Train, or of Soul Train, from Intermedia Partners and the Yakapa companies, I guess is what it's called. Now, the assets include Soul Train brand and more than 1,000 hours of archival footage that shows the 37-year history. Now, the terms of the purchase were not disclosed, but Tony Cornelius, the son of Soul Train's founder, Don Cornelius, expressed enthusiasm for BET's acquisition. And I don't know what to say about that. I am feeling some kind of way about them having, about BET having Soul Train. But I don't know. If you agree or disagree, you can come in, hit whatever you like. But I don't know what I think about that. You know, I thought, you know, Kathleen may want to jump on this. So let's bring in the commiss. Hey, Kathleen, how are you?
I'm great, you know, how are you?
That's good. That's good. I'm well. I didn't want to bait you to come in for this, but I really wanted to talk about the fact that I'm not really feeling that good about this BET getting Soul Train.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I share your sentiment. It's one of those things where you're like, but BET is a white-owned network.
Exactly.
So now, the very thing that we were upset about BET and Centrix for, we are, you know, we're basically in the same situation where there's no black-owned network owned by black people.
Right.
It feels
except for Bounce TV. Right. Bounce TV, that's why I did the Bounce TV story first, is that Bounce TV is owned by people of color, but they're not on cable, which is a whole nother story. And we know who else.
Were you not saying that? So BET just bought who? Or is in talks to buy?
They bought Soul Train's properties.
Yeah.
And all of the footage from Soul Train. Now, that's as an iconic show that was the longest syndicated show in history, I don't know how I feel about BET having it, like owning it. So think about this. Soul Train Awards, BET Awards, BET Honors, BET, like, I'm just worried about BET just destroying black culture just completely. That's what I'm worried about.
Like Time Warner?
Pretty much. Yes.
Owning all our music.
Yes, exactly. You know, so I didn't really want to kind of.
Essence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when are they going to get Essence back? Like, all of that stuff.
Oh.
I don't. That just seems kind of.
I feel you.
Thanks, because I don't know how I feel about this. I'm sure if Finesse was around, I'm sure he'd have some yelling to do about this. But it's just like what I said about. You know, Billboard Award show is coming up on Sunday, and they are producing it like Madonna is doing the Prince tribute. And I'm thinking, who's happy about that? So there's like four or five white groups that they have lined up for the Prince tribute. Like Prince had no color. And there's something about co-opting that I can't get with. I think that all black people should not watch Billboard, by the way. But at the same time, that gets to be sickening. And I don't know if you heard the story, the Purple Rain story, but the director of Purple Rain, they had already started shooting Purple Rain, and he actually rewrote it to be the screenplay. And Prince's manager was still shopping Purple Rain even while they were shooting. So Warner Brothers comes in, calls him to a meeting. He said he didn't want to go, but he went out of a courtesy. And they said, hey, this sounds like a really good story. We want to buy into it. Now, again, they're already shooting Prince's story. It's about Minneapolis musicians. It's about Prince. Warner Brothers said that they wanted John Travolta to play Prince in Purple Rain. And the director said, I'm out. He said, I'm not going to do it. And he said they called him back by the time he got back to the hotel because he was leaving. And they said, well, we'll still buy it anyway. But that was their shot. He said he knew once a studio gets it that they would want to do that. But John Travolta as Prince, now Madonna is doing the tribute. Thank you very much.
Well, isn't he's not really going to do it, right? I mean, he protested they're not going to do that, are they?
Who's that? Oh, no. This is the original movie. What? Say
okay.
that again?
No, I was saying that they're not going to cast Travolta as Prince.
Yeah, they wanted John Travolta in the 1984 movie Purple Rain. They wanted John Travolta to play Prince in that movie.
Oh, Jesus.
And I know. They were like, John Travolta can't play instrument. He's not from Minneapolis. We can't. No. I mean, there was just nothing appealing about that. But just that they suggested it is important to note that was done, you know. And worse than that, you know, and I can, you know, go on and talk a lot of stuff about Prince, but the interesting thing about him, Stevie Nicks from the band Fleetwood Mac, she said that I don't know if you know the song Stand Back? I should have played it as a bump, but it was a song written in 1983. She said, Stevie Nicks said, she listened to Little Red Corvette, and she wrote the song Stand Back, and she called Prince. She called. She said, I didn't think I would be able to get a hold of him. But she was in a studio in Los Angeles, and she told him where she was. She said, I don't know where he was in the world. He was at the studio in 20 minutes. He played most of the instruments on that song, and he owns 50% of that song. And his name isn't even listed on the liner notes. But she said, I don't steal. So she called him to tell him that it was based on Little Red Corvette, and he came in and actually did the music for it.
Wow.
Yeah, I love stories like that. Like, you know, and even Phil Collins, the song Subsudio, he said he was listening to 1999 and went back and wrote Subsudio. So Prince's influence, I'm not saying it is primarily for black folks, but I'm saying you can't just cut him out of being black. That's who he is. It's like,
right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, since he helped out other people, they want to make it a part of their kind of culture, I guess. I don't know.
Wow.
All right. So, I know. See, don't get me on Prince stories. I can do this all day. All right. So here we go. Now, a Louisiana lawmaker proposed a regulation. I'm sorry that you came in while I'm about to do these two stories. Just kind of hold your breath on this one for me, okay, Kathleen?
All right.
I won't press you at all. No comment. I'll just whip through these. Louisiana lawmaker proposed regulations to make sure that strippers are young and trim and not older than 28 years old and no more than 160 pounds. Now, Representative Ken Harvard proposed an amendment on Wednesday that he quickly withdrew after female lawmakers in Louisiana's House had a problem and said that they were not amused. But can some fool, I don't know what's going on with politicians these days, but I don't know what kind of joke that would be, but it is Louisiana. I know I have many family there, hey, if you're listening. But that just seems just kind of, never mind. All right, a little quirky. Now, what about the men? Yeah, he didn't say it. He just says strippers had to be young and trim and no older than 28. I guess a man at 162, they didn't specify male or female when he said strippers. But I don't know what the heck he was thinking anyway, but that was a whole other story. Yeah, he lost his mind. Now, the German government created a website dedicated to teaching the influx of immigrants the ins and outs of sex, literally and figuratively. Now, in German culture, now here it wasn't just about sex, but they were saying how to approach a woman and how to be respectful and be respectful of gay and lesbians and members of the opposite sex. So they published a website. It said, you know, it is essentially a de facto instruction manual as well. Like, so the site, which cost the German Federal Center of Health Education $136,000 to create, I could have did one just $135,000. But anyway, it's intended to help the public bridge the gap between the typically reserved Middle Eastern attitudes about sex and more open gay approach is what they're saying, where public nudity is not uncommon and frank conversations are the norm. So they're saying that since they have a lot of immigrants, they want to put up a website saying, we are just crazy in this piece of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's pretty much how I'm reading it. I could be wrong, but their website is reassuring that immigrants, you know, that everything's okay and people aren't losing their mind. I think that's what the moral of that story is, but there's a website for it. All right, now, a female teacher who's 37, oh, good Lord, who was charged with sleeping with an eighth grader was arrested again after two more encounters with that same teenager while out on bond. Now, Megan Doherty, she's 37, has now been arrested twice for allegedly having a relationship with a student 14 at Hillcrest Middle School in Greenville, South Carolina. Now, whether you were on here or not, Kathleen, here's what I want to say about this. I normally crack jokes about this because this is normally a bunch of female teachers, and I'm finally, it took me a minute with you and Kai, I finally come around to your side on this. This is pedophilia. And that for female teachers, whether it's a male, because if this was a male, they would throw him under jail. And she is, she has crossed, not only did she cross the line because it's an eighth grader and 14 years old, when she got out, she did it two more times. So, you know what? I have finally seen the light in that. My joke, because for high school students, I always say that about a high school boy. You know, you low-key and I have always laughed about that because of that. But that's predator status. Because there are way too many females doing that, and I'm with you guys. All right, I finally see the light. You don't have to comment on it, but I'm just saying. I finally see the light because I did not see it for months upon months, and I honestly have to say there's at least about 40 news stories on this that I've done, and after reading the details of this one, I was just done. I don't know why this one did it, but it really is like they're predators. Because usually you would say something like, you know, the kid probably hit on her or whatever. You can't really blame the kids on this one. She's 37. She wasn't like she was 21, a teacher at a school that she, you know, just got out of college and she went back to a high school and they're close in age or anything. She's a predator. Just want to say that. And I'm sure she's not going to get any time for that, but no. All right, so I just wanted to clear that for the record. So whether you're on or not, I was going to clear this up for the record. That's what my data cleared up. That's why it was sitting there. All right. I'm glad you're here to hear that today because I was having a moment. Now, in court this week also, you know, Nestle, they ruled that Nestle can buy more than 600,000 gallons of water per day from its Poland Springs Bottling Water Division, despite the restrictions, the objections from the residents in Maine. So if you ever drink Poland Springs water, it comes from Maine, but they're owned by Nestle, which I would have to ask a question about why they own the water people. But you use water for soda, so Nestle owns a lot of bottling plants. Anywho, all right, so the people are complaining. They're not trying to hear them. Now, a single dollar verdict was dealt to six sex offenders who challenged former New York Governor George Pataki's controversial civil commitment laws. and they said they should not be altered, is what the Second Circuit Court ruled. So they all won a dollar. Now, I thought that was funny because I think they were kind of slapping them in the face. Whether they were right or wrong, they were still convicted sex offenders, so they got nothing from the court. They all got a dollar. All right. Now, the District of Columbia law that I know, it just seemed like the judge was just being mean, I guess, on that one. Now, the District of Columbia, a District of Columbia law that requires applicants for concealed carry permits to provide a good reason that they need one, it violates the Second Amendment, is what a federal judge ruled this week. So technically, you don't need a good reason, but I guess they put that on an applicant and they just said, take it off. All right.
What
New
is
York,
that a good reason for what?
For applying for a permit to carry, a concealed carry permit, for a gun permit. They had on the application, give me a good reason. That's like saying, give a good reason that you want to drive a car. It's either a permit or it's not. You're either able to have it or not. They said, give them a good reason. I know. Sometimes news does get to be funny sometimes. All right. So New York's top financial watchdog touted what it called an unprecedented $3 million settlement against companies that collected on illegal payday loans. So payday loan people in New York State is about to get rounded up, apparently. So there was a $3 million settlement from several of the payday loan people. If you ever got one, I'm sure you probably still won't see your money back, but that's a whole other story. All right. Alanis Morissette, the singer, is suing her former business manager for $15 million. He claimed that he stole millions from her bank account and then claimed that she was funding an illegal marijuana business and failed bid to cover his tracks. He took $15 million of her money, told her she was funding illegal marijuana, so we can't find the money. Just did not work. And they're crazy. They're not just bold. They're bold and crazy. All right. So the father of Oscar Grant, who was shot and killed by the Bay Area Rapid Transit Police, they ruled, the Ninth Circuit Court ruled that he cannot seek monetary damages for the transit police killing his son. All right, that would be all I have to say about injustice today. That is just doggone. Oscar Grant, I have no clue. Because there can't be a statute of limitations. I wouldn't think that would be it. But they ruled this week that he can't collect. It's interesting, again, in this country, he can't collect for having his kids killed by the police, but we can sue the country of Saudi Arabia for 9/11. That kind of sums it up for me. That's all I got to say about that. You know, because none of it makes any sense. Now, if you didn't hear last week, the genetic risk factors for asthma identified in recent years do not apply to black children or other minorities due to the studies, they said, included only white asthma patients, is what researchers said. So the new study conducted by the University of California, San Francisco, found nearly all known genetic risk factors for asthma could not be replicated with black patients, finding that instead other genetic markers may increase the risk in that condition. So asthma is the most common chronic medical condition in children of all racial and ethnic groups. In the United States, prevalence is highest amongst Puerto Ricans at 18.4%, 14.6% in African Americans, 8.2% in whites, and 4.8% in Mexicans. There you have it. And so to say, oh yeah, my bad, we just didn't do that study. It's crazy to me. They did a study and did not include any black people in it, so all of their genetic, all of their tests doesn't even apply to us. and they can't replicate it. I don't know what to say about
that. I don't know what to say.
Well, I could say something about it because, you know, the funny thing about that study was that, you know, they're also not able to replicate a couple of other things in black children or black people generally, like vitamin D. They said that most of the time vitamin D, black people have stronger bone density than white folks, even though they say they're vitamin D deficient because the tests are wrong and misleading. That came